Now, there was another abstract presented by Pam Sharma. It was an oral presentation. And she presented the first large series of patients with Ipi plus Nivo. Ipilimumab, the CTLA-4 antibody, plus nivolumab, the PD-1 antibody. It was a 72-patient study, so, you know, large but not so large. And she had two cohorts. One was pre-chemotherapy CRPC, and one was post-chemotherapy CRPC. In the pre-chemotherapy cohort, there was a very high objective response rate of almost 25%, which, frankly, in my opinion, I have never seen numbers that high in prostate cancer. In the post-docetaxel cohort with the same two drugs, Ipi plus Nivo, the objective response rate was only 10%. So it does seem like either the patients were fitter or perhaps the pre-chemotherapy situation sensitizes patients more. So that was very exciting. On the other hand, the toxicity of that regimen in these older men with metastatic castration-resistant prostate cancer, even in the pre-chemotherapy setting, was very high. About 50% of patients had grade 3 or grade 4 adverse events, so that's very high. And the most striking thing to me was that about 2/3 to 3/4 of patients couldn't get past the first 4 doses of therapy. So the way that the trial was designed, they got the Ipi plus the Nivo in combination every 3 weeks times 4, and then after that, they got a Nivo maintenance dose once every 4 weeks. And the vast majority, way more than half of patients, almost, as I mentioned, 2/3 to 3/4, couldn't get past that 4th dose without having an AE that led to drug discontinuation. So that was quite concerning to me, because just imagine in the real world, if in a clinical trial done at MD Anderson, 3/4 of patients drop out before dose number 4, I can't even imagine how many would be dropping out in the community.
That's really interesting. I wonder what's going on there. You know, you're at the World Center for Checkpoint Inhibitors. When you're talking about that, I was thinking about that paper. Your colleague Julie Bramer was the first author on it, in the JCO on toxicity. And I don't recall, I mean, you're talking about Epinevo too, it's a little bit different. But in general, I don't recall that there's much more autoimmune toxicity in older people. You know, what do you think's going on here?
Well, I think you hit the nail on the head. I think it's the combination versus the monotherapy. So at least in prostate cancer, we now have some accumulating data. When you use Nivo by itself or Pembro by itself, you see about a 15 to 20% grade 3-4 toxicities, of which about half are autoimmune. But again, when you combine the Ipi plus the Nivo, we had done a smaller study that we've published, and now the MD Anderson study. And in both experiences, the grade 3, grade 4 rate was 50% or higher. So I think it may not be the age as much, but perhaps, you know, it's the combination. The other thing is the dose of nivolumab and the dose of ipilimumab might be important. So in that study that Pam Sharma presented, the dose of Nivo was 1 mg/kg, and the dose of Ipi was 3 mg/kg. There are other studies that have used the opposite dosing. In other words, Nivo of 3 and Ipi of 1. And with that combination in prostate cancer, perhaps the toxicity is a bit less. But the key here is this. In that combination study of Ipi plus Nivo, all of the benefit appeared to be restricted to the patients that had the high tumor mutational burden. So the authors did a subset analysis where they looked at targeted next-generation sequencing, and then they counted the number of mutations per megabase. And on average, those patients had about 3 mutations per megabase. And then they split the cohort into TMB, tumor mutational burden, above the median versus below the median. And every single one of the objective responders was in the group that was TMB greater than the median. There were two other signals that came up, which were not statistically significant, but they are certainly enticing. One is that patients that had tumor expression of PD-L1 on their biopsies, either in the tumor cells or the immune cells, more than 1% level, had a numerically greater chance of responding. And also, patients that had homologous recombination deficiency mutations also had a numerically higher chance. And there's an important distinction here. We're not talking about mismatch repair, which is the FDA-approved indication. We're talking about homologous repair like BRCA2 and ATM. So that finding, at least to me, was very interesting, hypothesis generating.